We're right in the middle of what's known as Passion Week. And in just a few days, Jesus is going to endure some things that we don't even want to think about, but we're going to have to think about them. Yes, he's going to be crucified, but there's some aspects of this week, there's some aspects of the things that Jesus went to that we don't really talk about them. And it's not that we don't believe them or we don't want to. We're just so excited about the death, burial, and resurrection, and especially the resurrection, we talk about that because that's exciting. But there's some other things that I'm coming to believe are equally as important, equally as exciting, and we need to talk about, or at the very least, recognize that they're there. See, one of the things we need to understand is that it is critical, you know, to understand that the death, burial, and resurrection, it's critical to know its place. But Passion Week, what Jesus did during this week, there's an example there that we need to look at and we need to see. And the reason I say that, in Matthew 10, verse 37 and 38, in the Passion Translation, Jesus said, "Whoever loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not fit to be my disciple, and whoever comes to me must follow in my steps and be willing to share my cross and experience it as his own, but he's not worthy of me." So Jesus is saying, look, if you're going to come to me, you're going to have to experience the things I experienced. 1 Peter 2, let me put on my reader's helpers here. 1 Peter 2, verse 20 and 21 in the Passion Translation says, "For what merit is it to endure mistreatment for wrongdoing? Yet if you are mistreated when you do what's right and you faithfully endure, this is commendable before God. In fact, you were called to live this way because Christ also suffered in your place, leaving you his example for you to follow." And John 20 talks on the same line. That evening, in verse 19, "That evening the disciples gathered together, and because they were afraid of reprisals," think about this, they were afraid of reprisals. Everything that Jesus had told them had already come to pass, and they're still afraid. They're afraid of reprisals from the Jewish leaders. They had so they locked the doors. But suddenly Jesus appeared among them and said, "Peace to you." Then he showed them the wounds of his hands and in his side. They were overjoyed to see the Lord with their own eyes. Jesus repeated his greeting, "Peace to you." And then he told them, "Just as the Father has sent me, I am now sending you." I've come to realize that during Passion Week, Jesus demonstrated, he modeled the characteristics that we need to do so that we can do the things that we've been called to do. And during Passion Week, he proved that no matter how tough it gets, believers can persevere. No matter how tough it gets. And I think it's so important to remember that. One of my most favorite, as if you can have a favorite, you know, of someone being tortured in an agony, but one of my favorite, or most meaningful is probably a better way to say it, one of my most meaningful Passion Week events was Jesus in Gethsemane, in the garden. And when I say that because I think about the things that we allow to discourage us, the things we allow to beat us down, wear us out, or just cause us to stop. And I think about the times you know, that I can only speak for me because I don't, probably none of you ever felt this, but there are times I felt betrayed. There are times I felt abandoned. There are times I was an emotional wreck. There are times I was agonizing over things. There are times I was pushed to my limit. And sometimes I felt I was pushed over my limit. And I realized Jesus defeated all of those things in Gethsemane. Because if he didn't defeat them in Gethsemane, he never gets to the cross. So when I think about that, if he never gets through Gethsemane, then the Father's will doesn't prevail. If Jesus doesn't conquer Gethsemane, he never goes to the cross. And where would that leave us? In Gethsemane, he experienced intense agony of his soul. He experienced it mentally, emotionally. He was pushed to all the limits, or the very limits that human beings could endure. In that emotional pain, you know, he wrestled. Anybody ever? I know I can't see your hands, but I'll still know. Anybody ever wrestle? You know it's God's will. You know what he said, but you're wrestling with it because you really don't want to do it. And, you know, you may have your reasons, and we all think our reasons are good, even though none of them are when it comes to doing what God said. But we just get so emotional because we want to do what we want to do. And you have this fighting going on inside of you that's just tearing you apart. Jesus was experiencing all that in the garden. And he was warring against his own will. Try and think about that. You know what you want to do, and you know what God wants you to do, and you want to do what God wants you to do, but your will, your mind is fighting you. Your soul, it's fighting you. It said, no, I don't want to do that. So you just had, it's like you're being torn apart on the inside. In order for him to win that war, he had to be completely submitted to going to the cross. He had to be completely submitted to his Father. And he had to overcome anything that was trying to get between him and his commitment to do the Father's will. And today, March 31st, 2021, believers all over this planet are in the same kind of war. We're fighting against being submitted to doing God's will, period. Look at Matthew 26. This is in the Passion Translation. We may stop along the way. But it says, then Jesus, beginning in verse 36 of Matthew 26, then Jesus led his disciples to an orchard called the Oil Press. This is the Passion Translation. But in the Aramaic, it means garden. And they called the garden Gethsemane. And he told them, sit here while I go and pray. While I go and pray nearby. And then he took Peter and Jacob, which is James, and John with him. However, an intense feeling of great sorrow plunged his soul into agony. Into agony. Now, try and get that picture. All of the disciples come into the garden, and then he takes his three prayer warriors, and they go, you know, away from the crowd. And as he's walking, Jesus gets overcome with agony. Notice that no one said, Jesus, is everything okay? Because I don't know about you, but if something bothers me, if I'm in agony about something, it's going to show somewhere, either in my walk, or I may just pass out, or I'll clench my, but something is going to change about me because all of a sudden I'm in agony, and I would think that anyone close to me would pick that up because they're so close to me. These three disciples were very close to Jesus. And they didn't pick it up, but in verse 38 says, he said to them, my heart is overwhelmed and crushed with grief. It feels as though I'm dying. Stay here and keep watch with me. And I find it interesting that the Bible doesn't give any response from the three. They didn't say, we got your back, boss. Don't worry about a thing. We'll pray you through it. You're not alone. We're right here with you. They didn't go up and round up. Hey, guys, come on. Let's all start praying for Jesus right now. He needs our prayers. No, they didn't do that. Jesus said, my heart is overwhelmed. I'm crushed with grief. I feel like I'm dying. Stay here and keep watch with me. Then he walked a short distance away, and overcome with grief, he threw himself face down on the ground and prayed. Now, he didn't just kneel down and pray. When you study that out, he was writhing on the ground. It's almost as if he's trying to get up but just can't, and he's just writhing around on the ground praying because he's in agony. My Father, this is what he prayed. If there's any way you can deliver me from this suffering, please take it from me. Yet what I want is not important, for I only desire to fulfill your plan for me. Then an angel from heaven appeared to strengthen him. And you would think, okay, an angel came, he prayed, he's in agony, an angel came, and the angel's purpose was to strengthen him. But it says in verse 40, later he came back to his three disciples, found them all asleep, for he awakened Peter and said, could you not stay awake with me for even 1 hour? Keep alert and pray that you'll be spared from this time of testing. Your spirit is eager enough, but your humanity is weak. I started reading that. He said, your spirit is eager. We get excited about doing great exploits for God. When we find out what we have to go through, we become weak. And we'll say, one of the lines that I've heard over my years as a believer, when someone may have volunteered or whatever, and it was a little more than they thought, they would say, I didn't sign up for this. When God told me to come to a ministry and told me what to apply for and all of that, I signed an open contract with him. It's like, I'm yours. It's like what they used to do with athletes back in the 60s, 70s, probably into the 80s. They would sign a personal services contract. So even if something happened and they couldn't play, they still, you know, had to do some service for the owner of the organization because they had a personal services contract. That's the way I felt when I came here. Whatever I was asked to do, I did, and I never thought about what it would cost me or even if I knew how to do it. I figured if God is giving me this assignment, he knows what I know. So if he's having me do it, I can do it. But in this case, and one of the reasons it has such great significance for me, is it lets me know something. we have this conception that whenever we pray to God, immediately and instantaneously, the answer is going to come, or the strength is going, whatever it needs, it's going to come right away. Well, it says here, then he left them for a second time to pray in solitude. He said to God, my Father, if there's not a way that you can deliver me from this suffering, then your will must be done. That's telling me that even though he prayed it the first time and an angel came to strengthen him, whatever was trying to grip him didn't let go yet. Scripture comes to mind. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Jesus was demonstrating resistance. He had submitted himself to God. He prayed, an angel came to strengthen him, but the grip of the devil was still on him. Why? Because he has to resist. That's why the scriptures tell us to do the same thing, to resist the devil. But in the garden, Jesus was demonstrating, this is the type of resistance we're talking about. You know, this isn't, I'm not supposed to eat ice cream, so I have to resist this. No, this is the enemy coming with everything that he has to stop you, to stop me from doing what God has called us, has ordained us, has prepared us to do. He wants to stop us. And he pulls out everything that he has. So Jesus, he prayed that prayer a second time and came back to his disciples. It says, the first time it says, he found them all sound asleep. He woke them up, told them why they should play. He comes back, pray, he comes back, and he finds them, they're still sound asleep. Then he left them and went away to pray the same thing the third time. So he's in so much agony, so much physical pain. I'll tell you about that in a couple of minutes. So much anguish. And the people that are there to support him are sound asleep. How does that make? And you've spent the past 3 years ministering to them, being there for them, fulfilling every need. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all ways, just like we are. So I always ask myself when I read that scripture, okay, would I be upset with that? Yes, I would. So Jesus must have been upset with it also. But he just didn't handle it the way I did. I had to learn to handle things the way he did, and I am still learning to handle things the way he did. But he came back to his disciples the third time. Mind you, he's still in his soul was still in agony. He had to go away twice. He comes back the third time, and he says, are you still sleeping? Don't you know the hour has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the authority of sinful men? At that point, he's ready. He's ready. He said, the hour has come where I'm going to be handed over to sinful men, placed under the authority of sinful men. Now, he's talking to people that he provided for 3 years. He provided for all their needs. He protected them from every enemy. They were ministry partners. And he spent time answering their questions, but there's no record in the scripture of him ever needing their support except for this one time in the garden. 3 years of doing everything he can for them. This one time he needs them to stand there with him at a critical point in his life, and they fall asleep. Do you have anybody that's ever let you down like that? Something to think about. Jesus knew it was, he knew that he was getting ready to be lied on, mocked, ridiculed, beaten, nailed to a cross, killed, buried, has to go to hell, and stay there for 3 days. He knew all this was facing him, and when he walked into the garden, he couldn't handle it. But he stayed there, and he prayed his way through everything, every thought, every feeling that the devil could possibly place on him. He stayed steady through it all. Through it all. When you think about it, and you're in that place where you know what's coming, and it's just so overwhelming, you can't even put it into words. And you feel like, nobody knows how I feel. And so there's nobody you can talk to about it. You feel you could, you have your inner circle, and you feel, well, I could talk to them about anything. They go to sleep on you. And so now you can't talk to them, and it's just you and your thoughts facing the devil and everything that he can throw at you. Because the devil knows that what you're about to do is going to change the world. And his position is, I can't let that happen. So he tries to overwhelm you. He tries to separate you from your father so that he could devour you. See, the people, one of the reasons why it's so hard to talk to people about what you're going through is they're not feeling the pressure you're feeling. They don't think it's as, they may not think it's as big a deal as you do because they don't understand. Even though Jesus told his disciples exactly what was going to happen, they did not understand. They didn't grab hold of what he was saying. They didn't understand the gravity of it. They didn't understand the depth of the agony and things that Jesus was going to have to experience. They didn't understand that. An angel came when Jesus prayed the first time to strengthen him. That wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. That lets us know that we can't just whip out a scripture, you know, with the stripes of Jesus Christ, I'm healed, and ta-da, everything's fine. No, this is letting us know we're going to have to fight through some things. And if we stick with it, we will get the victory. It's, things aren't just going to come easy. It let us know that even though you feel sometimes that God didn't give you enough to complete the assignment, that I need a little more anointing. Just a little more, God. No, you need to understand what you can do with the anointing that you have, just like faith. And Jesus demonstrated that all it took for a human being to whip the devil was keeping his commitment to God, no matter what. That's all it took, because that's all he had. That's why he kept saying, I don't want to do this, but not my will, your will. I don't want to do it, God. If you can do this another way, do it another way. Not my will, though. I'm committed to doing it your way. I don't like this. I know what we wrote in Isaiah 53. I didn't think it was going to be like this, though. But not my will. Let your will be done. This is about your will. This is about your plan. This is about you so loving the world that you sent me so they could be saved. That's what this is about, and that's what I'm sticking to. And he had to come to that conclusion by himself because his disciples were asleep. They didn't get it. When I was researching this, I found this little passage. I want to read it to you. Looking at Luke 22:44, we read, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground." The word "drops" is from the Greek word thrombos, which is a medical term that points to blood that is usually thick and clotted. So I'd say you have a thrombosis. This reveals a rare but very real medical condition that still exists in the world. The Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, published an article by a group of doctors who analyzed, listen to this. They analyzed what happened to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The article concluded that Jesus experienced a real medical condition. A real medical condition. His mind and emotions were under such severe stress that his brain began to send signals to his body, telling his body that he was under physical pressure. That is, his mind perceived the stress as a real physical attack and told his body to respond accordingly. You can be pressured so much that your body thinks, "I'm being beaten up." When this type of intense pressure occurs, the body responds in the following way. Now, this is the Journal of American Medical Association. These are doctors that have come to this conclusion. The body responds in the following way. The top layer of skin separates from the second layer of skin, creating a vacuum. The vacuum then fills with blood. Since the person suffering is already profusely sweating from the intense pressure, the abundant pool of blood begins to mingle with the sweat and starts oozing through the pores of the skin. That's why it says the sweat was like great drops of blood. He was experiencing a physical, a very real physical condition. So we know that Jesus was in agony. And that word is agonia. It's like you're in a fierce wrestling match between his human will and the Father's will. So Jesus was, he was in this fight where he wanted to do the Father's will, but his will was trying to take over. So now he's in this fight. His will is fighting against him. He's fighting against his will because he wants to do the Father's will. And he's going through this torment. And he can't tell anybody because there's nobody that understands. His disciples, if they could understand, they're asleep. How would you feel when you see blood coming out of parts of your body that it shouldn't be coming out of? And he couldn't Google it to see what was going on. What Jesus experienced was beyond what any normal human being would ever endure. It says he was pushed to the limit emotionally. Pushed to the limit. That's why I said earlier, the devil was throwing his entire arsenal at Jesus because the devil had to find something that would make Jesus turn away from God's will. That's why we have Hebrews 12. Look, want to go there quickly. Hebrews 12, first four verses. "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Before he could endure the cross, he had to endure Gethsemane, but he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here's the part I want to get to. For consider him, Jesus, that endured such contradiction from sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That's letting us know again that Jesus resisted. There was so much pressure on him to go against God that it caused his body to sweat blood. And that's physical, according to that doctoral group. In the midst of all that agony, in the midst of that loneliness, in the midst of that pain, Jesus kept telling God how he felt. He kept telling God how he felt and what he wanted to do. God, I take this away from me, but I'm doing your will, not mine. Still feeling the agony. God, take this away. If not, I'm doing your will. In other words, he's saying, God, take this agony away. If not, it's not going to stop me from doing what you want me to do. I don't care how much blood I lose. I don't care how much pressure I feel. I'm not backing away from what you told me to do. It's a lesson we can learn from Gethsemane. And I thought about something else. When Jesus came back from praying the third time, he said to his disciples that the one who is betraying him is at hand. You ever stop to wonder, or did you ever think about why they never showed up until after he finished praying those three times? Why didn't they show up sooner? Very simple. God knew Jesus wasn't ready to handle it. And because Jesus wasn't ready to handle it, God couldn't let it happen. Why not? Because he was still operating in 1 Corinthians 10, even before it was written. You can look at that in the Passion Translation. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 13 and 14. We all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you. Listen to this. He will screen and filter the severity. I got to stop there. When you think about everything Jesus went through and how severe it was, that was after God tempered it. That was after God said, this is what man will be able to bear. He said he will screen and filter the severity, the nature, and the timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. So anytime something happens, it's happening to you at the right time for you to handle it. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. Learn that from studying Gethsemane. If the soldiers had come before Jesus got won his battle against the two wills, we wouldn't be here. But God wouldn't allow it to happen until Jesus was ready to deal with it properly. And he will not allow things to happen in our lives unless we're ready to deal with them. So why do bad things happen? We choose not to deal with it. It's not that we can't. We can. Well, how do you know we can? Because Jesus did it in Gethsemane. And we're to follow in his steps. Said, then each test is an opportunity to trust him more. Each time something comes and you get through it, you realize, boy, I didn't know I could do that with my faith. And you get greater revelation as to what your faith does. Each test is an opportunity to trust him more. For along with every trial, God provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. See, if Jesus isn't ready, Malchus spends the rest of his life with one ear. If Jesus isn't ready, that whole contingent of soldiers would have been dead, because he would have prayed to the Father, and the Father would have sent legions of angels, and they'd have wiped everybody out. And then the scriptures would not have been fulfilled. But he was ready. And Gethsemane proved that a person faithful to God can endure anything that the devil's got, even if they have to face it alone. And most times you will. And this is the clincher for me. I'm going to read this because I don't want to miss it. This is what the thought that I had while I was preparing. The devil wants to get us to the place where we are so overwhelmed with whatever it is that we quit. That's what he wants. Jesus' soul was overwhelmed. His heart was overwhelmed. His physical body was overwhelmed. He knew that he had about an hour, then all hell was going to break loose. His disciples were going to desert him. The people he held to appraising him when he arrived were going to turn on him. But the fullness of his love for God allowed him to experience victory in Gethsemane, which propelled him to the victory in the cross and the grave and 3 days in hell. Without question, Jesus went through a great deal for us, a horrific ordeal, but by doing so, he became a model of how we're to act even when we are mistreated. Even when we're mistreated, even when the pressure is on, we're supposed to act. Even when we are overwhelmed by a number of things, we are still strong enough to defeat anything the devil has. Even while being overwhelmed, all we have to do is love God enough. And by enough means, love him, do what he says. Perfect love casts out fear. One translation said, perfect love takes away the agony. There's no agony when you understand how much God loves you and how much you love God. Anything you do for him is no longer agony. The agony goes out of it. And it's just something that you have to do. So because in winning and having the victory at Gethsemane, Jesus became a model of how we're to act when we're mistreated. It says that we're to follow in Christ's step. And that word in the Greek really means putting yourself, your foot, in the exact footprints of someone else. So that lets me know that when something happens, all I have to do is remember what Christ did and put my foot in his footprints, so that I do it exactly the way that he did it. Why would you want to do it exactly the same way? Because what he did worked. That's why. He took everything that the devil had. And he told his disciples that he gave us power over everything that the devil had. So every bout we have with agony, and there are going to be some agonizing moments in our walk with Christ, we have victory. We can have victory over that, as I said earlier, even if we feel overwhelmed. Because Jesus went into the garden, and the garden was like this boxing ring. And he stepped into the ring and got pummeled unmercifully by the devil. And he never threw in the towel. Not only did he win that victory, but he went on to win the victory at the cross. But we never get to the cross if we don't get through the garden. The garden fixed in Jesus' mind, I can do any of this. I got through this. I get through anything. Okay, boys, come on. Now's the time. And then here comes the betrayer, you know, with the quote-unquote Judas kiss. So, yes, enjoy the festivities of Resurrection Sunday. It is a great time. Get dressed up, have a ball, eat your hard-boiled eggs and jelly beans, you know, and all of that good stuff. But remember, it's much more to this resurrection story than just the ending. If Jesus doesn't get through Gethsemane, he never makes it to the cross. We all have our Gethsemanes, and now we know how to fight through them. Thank you, Lord. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for the word that you've shared with us this evening. Thank you for letting us know that regardless of what the devil brings, or how often or how strong, you built us to last, to endure, to overcome, to have victory. And all we have to do is stay committed to your will and your way. Thank you for showing us that, yes, it's all right to tell you we'd rather do it another way, but if another way is not possible, we are sticking with you. And even if we're at the point of being overwhelmed, it's still not strong enough to stop us from doing your will. We're committed, Father, to do your will. We're committed to do your things your way. And if we had allowed ourselves to be stopped previously, those days are over. We are not going to be stopped anymore because we know that even in a state of being overwhelmed, we are strong enough to defeat the enemy and fulfill your purpose for our lives. And for that, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Real quick. If there's anyone out there and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, just make this confession. Say, Father, God, I believe that you're God. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. And I believe that Jesus died. He went to the cross. He died for my sins. I believe he was buried and went to hell in my place. And after 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I'm asking you, come into my life. Come into my heart. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you to make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. As you see on the screen, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you made that prayer, the contact information that's on the screen, please contact us. We want to send you some free information to get you started on the right foot. It'll explain to you who you've become in Christ. Because according to the Bible, you're now a new creature in Christ Jesus. And if you have any questions, use the same information, and please contact us. And if you're watching the stream, you're watching on Facebook, you have a question, you can write the comment in the comments section. You can write your question. It'll get to us, and we will respond to it. May not be the same day, but we will respond to it.